We're on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're about 15 lines down from the top. Tashma. And let's just remind ourselves of the background. We have a principle called Ein Chachma Vein Tfuna Vein Eitza Keneged Hashem, which means that if he finds Kelayim in his Beged and he's in the Shuk and he's violating an Isu Doraisa of Levishas Kelayim, he has to take it off. And Gadol Kavod HaBrios will not apply if he's violating an Isu Doraisa Befaresia. We had a kasha from the Kavod HaBrios of the Avel in a case of a Kohen who's going down a lane that has Tumah in it, and here the Kohen is going to be Mistame. And we answered that that case was a case of Tumah Derabbanan called Sada Beis HaPras. Toshma, the Gemara has a kasha from another Braisa. The Omer Rabbi Lazar Bart Sadok, he was a Kohen. Midalgin Oyinu Al Gabi Arono Shel Mesim. So we have a case of an Aron that has a mess inside of it, and they would jump from one Aron on top of one Aron to the other. And for what purposes? To go out and across Malchi Yisrael in order to see the kings of Israel. And there were many Aronos that took up the whole row, so they had to jump on top of the Aronos. Velola cross Malchi Yisrael Bilvad Amru Elafil cross Malchi Akum Shem Yizke Yavchin Bein Malchi Yisrael Malchi Akum. So they even permitted us to jump from one Aron to the other for the sake of being Makabel lacrosse what's called Malchi Akum, because there's even a kiyum here as a preparation for Re'iyas and Kabbalas Pnei Malchi Yisrael, that if we go out lacrosse Malchi Akum, then we'll be able to appreciate the Godless of Yisrael. There'll be like a contrast between the two, and hopefully it'll be Zoche to be Roa the Godless Shel Yisrael in the covenant of Melech HaMashiach. Yavchin Bei Malchi Yisrael Malchi Akum. You'll see how great the Godless is of Malchi Yisrael, superseding by far the Godless of Umas Olam. And that's already a kiyum to go out and see Malchi Akum. Fek the Gemara, my, how could you be Matir Kohen to violate the Iser of Doraisa and be Mitame himself to a mess for the covenant of a Melech? Why don't we apply the principle Lema Ein Chachma Ein Tuna Ein Eitzel Neged Hashem, just like we said in Kalayim, that covenant of Brios is not Docha and Iser Doraisa and Kalayim? How could it be Docha and Iser of Kohanim? And the assumption here is that we're not talking of a sort of Beis HaPras, we're talking about Medalgin Oyinu Al Gabi Aronos. So the Gemara answers, Ki Rava, the Omer Rava, Dvar Torah, Oel, Kol Sheyesh Bo, Chalal Tefach, Chotzeitz Bifnei Atuma. That if you have a dead body, and it's enclosed, but there's an avir tefach, because normally we say that tuma is ole ubokea ad l'rakia, that when you have a dead body, the tuma goes all the way up endlessly. But that's only if it's an open tuma. So you have a dead body out in the air, underneath the sky. But in a case where the dead body is enclosed in an Aron, in an Oel, then it depends. Do we say Tumah Bokas V'Ol Adorki or not? And the answer is there an Avir that separates what's called a Tefach Al Tefach, Berum Tefach, from the mess until the ceiling above the mess, the ceiling which is the ceiling of the Oel. So you have a mess in an Oel, but if there's a significant and sufficient airspace that allows the tumah to be trapped, so to speak, in that airspace. And that's called chotzeitz bifnei atumah. So anything above that aron is not mitame. So if you're jumping on the aronos, then if we can assume that the avir between the mess and the top of the aron, the inside top, or if you want to look at the other way around, let's look at from the oil. If underneath the oil there'll be a halal tefach between the underneath of the oil and the mess, then we're going to apply the principle of Ein HaTuma Vokas V'olad L'Rakia. The Tuma is, so to speak, trapped inside the oil. It's only when the top covering is directly on top of the mess or within a very short area of avir, a very limited amount of space between the mess and the oil, then Tuma Vokas V'olad L'Rakia. And now we have to know, what about these aronos? Do they have a halal tefach or not? So the Gemara says, rov aronos, yesh bem halal tefach. We could always assume the rov, that in most cases, when they would put a dead body into an aron, they would allow for a halal tefach. They gave the mess some breathing space, some breathing air, so to speak. And therefore, on a Torah level, there's no tumah here, and the kohen would not be in violation of being metami lemes by going on top of this oil and medalgin ayino al gabi aronos, because these aronos have a halal tefach, and therefore there's no tumah doraisa, there's no tumah bokas v'olad l'rakia. The tumah, as we said before, is, so to speak, trapped inside the oil, and on top of the oil is no tumah. But gozer abonon, the chacham made gzera on these aronos sheyesh b'hem, even though there is a halal tefach, that they would be metame anyone going on top of the aron on a derabbanan level, and that was gzera because mishum aronos she'ein b'hem halal tefach. So to avoid the confusion between yesh b'hem halal tefach and ein b'hem halal tefach, the Rabbanon instituted a tumah even in the case of yesh b'hem halal tefach. But that's all a tumah derabbanon. Mishum kavod malachim lo gozru b'rabbanon. That kavod malachim is kind of like kavod abrios, and there's no gzera derabbanon. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik, despite the fact that he was a Kohen, was permitted to be medalig al gabi aronos, because we're assuming that stam aronos yesh b'hem halal tefach, and the tumah is only derabbanon. Toshma, the Gemara now asks a kash from another brisa, Godol kavod abrios shedoche es losa seshavat Torah, and that seems to imply that for the sake of Godol of kavod abrios, we can violate even a losa se in the Torah. And that's against the principle that we've been operating here, where he has to strip of the kelayim in the shuk because he doesn't want to violate the din Torah, the isur Torah of kelayim. Vamai lema, why don't we apply the principle of ein chokhma ve'ein tfuna ve'ein etza l'neged Hashem, and the lotas that should override the kavod abrios, as we said with regard to kelayim. And the Gemara answers, tirgama Rav Bar Shava Kamei de Rav Kahana. This brisa is talking about the following scenario: Belav de lo sosur. When it says lo sase shebatorah, it's not a doraisa, but it's a drabonon. Why does he call it a lo sase shebatorah? Because if you violate a drabonon, then you're in violation of lo sosur, which actually authorizes the chachamim to make their gzeros. And if you violate the gzeros, then indirectly, ipso facto, you violate lo sosur, and that's called a violation of a lav d'oraisa. But other lavim, which are pure, straight lavim, direct lavim, would override kavod abrios. It's only this case where we're dealing with a derabbanon that is called a d'oraisa because of lo sosur, then kavod abrios will override the derabbanon. Achiku alei. When Rav Bar Shaba gave this answer, the public laughed at him. They were of the opinion that the Braisa meant to say that they mistakenly understood that what Rav Bar Shaba meant to say was that even if the Chachamim tell us that Dvar Torah they derive from one of the 13 midos that Torah addresses them, or they were makabel aloch l'moshe misinai, even such a case would be nidcha mipnei kovod abrios. It means that even when they derive halachas from the Torah with the 13 hermeneutic principles, or if they had a kabbalah aloch l'misinai, even that's included in an iser chachamim, such that gavel kol abrios, that it would trump an iser chachamim. And then the question is the lav of lo sosur doraisahi, because they were asking the following question: how can you tell me that lo sosur is only the rabbanon, lo sosur is doraisa? So anything the chachamim say is considered doraisa. And if bechol zot, according to Rav, the interpretation is that gadol kol rabrios could be doche even a lav doraisa, then let's extend that and apply that logically to the case of a halacha and isa that was derived from Yud Gimel Midas HaTorah Jeshem or halacha Moshe Misinai, and even in that case, Rav is going to be matir to override those dinim because they come under lo sasur, and that's how great Kovod Avrius is, and that's something that they couldn't accept. And they raised this problem in front of Rav Kahana, because it was Rav Kahana who heard the interpretation of Rav Bar Shaba. So what the Gemara needs now is a distinction between a classic Zeret Rabbanu, which comes under Lo Sasur, and a Din Torah that's derived from Yud Gimel Midos, or Aloch L'Moshe Misinai. Omar, Rav Kahana turned to them, he said, Gavra Rabba Omar Milsa, if this was stated by Rav Bar Shaba, who was a Gavra Rabba, he's a great man, lo schiku aleh, don't start laughing about him. For sure, he didn't mean to say that anything that's derived from the Drashas Chachamim, or that they received Baloch L'Moshe Misinai, has the same status as any classic Darabbana, rank and file Rabbanon that comes under Lo Sosur, and it's all the same Lo Sosur. And if you could be Matir Exerid Rabbanon for the sake of Kovod Abrios ipso facto, are you accusing Rav as saying you can undermine and violate an Iser that the Rabbanon derived from the Torah itself with Yud Gimel Midos? Oh no. Kol Mili Rabbanon Asmechinu Alav de Lo Sosur. Anything that the Chacham instituted, their gzeros, they placed it under Lo Sosur. And it means that every violation of a Derabbanon, ipso facto, becomes a violation of Lo Sosur. But that doesn't mean it's a Doraisa. It still remains a Derabbanon. On a Doraisa level, the Torah says we have to listen to the Chachamim. We were commanded Lo Sosur Midivrayim. But that doesn't give it a gzera, a status of a doraisa. It still remains a gzera d'rabbanon. The lo sosur is just what we call a chizuk to the rabbanon. Mashen came things, the laws that they derive from Yud Gimel Midos, or from Aloch L'Moshe Misinai, those are mamish doraisas, kipshuta, which we cannot override for the sake of Kovod Abrios. What we could override is the Gzeret Rabbanon, which comes under Lo Sosur as an indirect Lo Sosur. Here Lo Sosur is playing the role of an Asmachta. And that's what it says, Mishum Kvodo Shor Rabbanon. In a case of a Drabbanon, which means a Gzeret Rabbanon that was enacted by the Chachamim, the whole nature of the Iser stems and has its root in the Gzeret Chachamim. There's no connection to the law of the Torah, it's not derived from the Torah, is the Chachamim said that our Isurim can be violated for the sake of Kovod HaMakom, Kovod HaBrios, and B'Makom Kovod HaBrios, we're going to be Matir and Isur D'Rabbanon. And we saw it by Sotah Beis HaPras for Kovod HaBrios. Let's just mention a famous machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. And this appears also at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, but in Shoresh Aleph of Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says that whenever you violate an Iser D'Rabbanan, you're in violation of Lo Sosur. You are undermining the authority of the Chachamim. And the Ramban in his Hasogas on Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees with a great deal of passion, and he says, no, Aspechid Rabbanan means that it's a smach bi'alma. The Rabbanan found a smach in the Torah, but that's only for the purpose of chizuk, only to strengthen us. and strengthen and intensify our commitment to the Drabbanan, but it doesn't mean that we violate an Issa Torah. And the Ramban asks a number of kashas on the Rambam. If you're telling me that every violation of an Issa Drabbanan entails a violation of Lo Sasur, how do we understand Safik Drabbanan Lekula? You've basically broken down the entire distinction between Drabbanan, Isuri Drabbanan, Isuri Doraisa. And of course, the Rambam would add, would answer this question by saying that although the authority of the Chachamim is vested in the Pasuk Lo Sasur, and it could very well be that when you violate the Drabbanan, you're violating Lo Sasur in so far as you are rebelling against the Chachamim and their authority. But nevertheless, Safik Drabbanan Lekula, which means that in the case of Safik Drabbanan never asked it. When the Issur applies, then violation of that Issur thereby incurs a chiyuv for Lo Sasur on a Doraisa level. But then the Rabbanan will give restrictions, and they will build in conditions for as to when their Issa Drabbana will apply and when it won't apply. Now we have another Braisa, Toshma. This is a Braisa with regard to Hashavas HaVeda, the Parsha in Kitetze, Lo Sir'eh Eshar Achicho Seov Nidachim V'Salamta Mehem. And then it says, Lo Suchal Is'ale. So on the one hand it says that you should not V'Salamta, on the other hand it says, Lo suchal isale. But in the first pasuk, it says lo sireh, and then it says v'salamta mihem. V'salamta mihem implies that you should look the other way, or you may look the other way, and ignore the aveda. So the Gemara answers in the name of this braisa, there are scenarios in which the Torah says v'salamta mihem. You can look the other way. You don't have to get involved in Hashavas aveda. Other cases where you're not allowed to be misalim, you have to get involved in Hashava. My high, so what's the difference? Our ketzad? Im hoya kohen vihi. Now the Lashon he in the Keva is referring to the Aveda, which is in the Lashon Nekeva. Nim says, the Vesakvaros. So the kohen therefore would have to enter into the Beis HaKvaros in order to retrieve this object, which is an Aveda. So for the sake of the mitzvah, he's going to violate Tumas Kohenim. Oh, Hayezaken. This is the case that we really want to focus our attention on. Zaken ve'enol lefich vodo. In other words, for the Zaken to get involved in Tipul Aveda, to pick up this animal and carry it on his shoulders, that's enol lefich vodo. Oh, another scenario would be Shahisa Malachto Meruba Mishal Chavero. In other words, the value that the motzi will have to lose because of his bitul malach, that he can't go to work, is greater than the worth and the total value of this aveda. So the aveda may be worth 10, but if he is a very high powered worker and he has a great occupation with high salary, then his salary by far will exceed the value of the aveda. Now, in such a case, technically, if the motzi would actually take this loss and miss a couple of his clients in order to return the aveda, when the bailim get their aveda back, they would have to pay him more than the value of the aveda. Just get me, they would not, I'm sorry, they would not have to pay him more than the value of the aveda. So the ceiling would be the value of the aveda itself on the market. And yet, this person, who's Haysa Malachta Maruba, would take a loss from his salary that would not be offset even by the full face value, market value of the aveda itself. So in any event, in all these three cases, all these categories, the Torah commands you in a positive way, or at least the Torah was mater you, to be misalim from the Aveda, and you don't have to return it. Number one, because you're a Kohen, and you'd have to be mitami yourself. Number two, you're a Zaken, and it's below your dignity to schlep around this animal on your back. Or number three, you have a great salary that by far exceeds the Aveda itself. So that's v'salamta. So now the Gemara asks the following kasha. Let's take the middle category and the middle scenario. That's a case of a zaken enel fi chvodo. So it's all about kavod abrios. Is amai, why are you telling me that he's allowed to look the other way and ignore the aveda? Because it's enel fi chvodo. to schlep around this shepsel on his back. Vamai lema. Why don't we apply the principle of ein chachma ein tvun ve'ein eitzel neged Hashem? Mitzvah Hashem's aveda should be doche covered abrios in this case, because we're dealing with doraisis here. We're dealing with lo sucha l'salim. How is it possible that mishum kvodo shel zaken we're going to trump the isa dorais of lo sucha l'salim? And the Gemara answers, "Shiny Hosam Dixiv Salamtim." In other words, this case of Zaken was never included in the parasha of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Therefore, it was never included in the Isur of Lo Sucha L'Salim. And how do I know this? Because the Torah says, "V'Salamtim." So the Gemara asks, "V'Ligmar Minei?" Why don't we derive from V'Salamta, which is written in the parasha of Aveda, that Kavod Abrios in general is Docha Isurim? And the fact that the Torah in the parasha of Aveda was matir, the Zokin Ve'en Kvifodo, as far as the Yisur Lo Sucha L'Salim is concerned, let's make that into a Binyan Av, and derive in general that Kavod Abrios is so great that it overrides an Yisur. Even if it's an Yisur Doraisa, like the case of Kalayim that we discussed. We're going to compare Kalayim to this case of Lo Sucha L'Salim, where the Torah says that if you look the other way and ignore the Aveda, you violate a law. And yet the Torah, for the sake of Zaken, the end of the Fli Kvod, is going to allow you to violate that law. So the Gemara answers, Yisuri Mimamona Lo Yalfinon, that this case of Hashavas Aveda, although there is an Isur, but the Isur is because of the Mammon. It's the Mammon, the value of the Aveda, and the loss financially that the Baal Aveda is going to suffer, he doesn't get back his Aveda. That's what generates the Isur Lav of Lo Sucha L'Salim. There's no independent Isur of Lo Sucha L'Salim. It's all because of the Hefseid Mammon that the Baal Aveda, that the motz, that the Ma'abe, the one who lost it, will suffer if the finder will ignore the mitzvah of Hashava. But in any event, we have now a case of Hashavas Aveda, which is a case of Mamona. Now, it's the whole nature of the Isur is an Isur Midini Mamon. And the Dini Mamonos are more Kal than ritual law, than Isur Veheter, when it's pure Isur Veheter. And that's why the Torah was Mekil V'Salam to Pom Shatam V'Salim in the case of Zokin Ve'Enel Chfifodo, because here we're dealing with Mammon, with Hashavas Aveda, that if he doesn't return the sheep, the owner of the sheep will take a loss. So it's all about dollars and cents. And in such a case, we don't have a high-powered lav. It's a sort of a lav in a small cap, in a small case lamed. And that's why the Torah was mechadish here, that for the sake of kavod, in the case of a zakev el kvichvodo, the Torah was matir him to be misalim, pomim shato misalim. But we have no source for other cases, which would be Isur cases, like the case of Kalayim, that has nothing to do with Mammon, it's pure Isur, that we would allow Kavod Abrios to trump the lav, and he would violate the lav for the sake of protecting his Kavod Abrios. Toshma. Now we have another braisa in the parash of Nozir, in parashas Noso. Kol yimei hizaro l'Hashem al nefesh meis lo yavo. So we see clearly from this braisa that there's an isur for a Nozir to be metami l'meisim. And in that sense, he has the same status as a Kohen, who's not allowed, he's enjoined from being metami l'meisim. Now in that posuk that says, kol yimei hizaro al nefesh meis lo yavo, if you look Viter, it says li avu li imo lachoso li achiv ulachoso lo yitamu lahem b'mosam. That although in the case of a Kohen Hedjot, his kedusha enjoins him from being metami lames, but if it's one of the Zion Krovim, then the Torah allows him specifically to be metami lames. Is ma talmud lomar? Meaning, why did the Torah have to add the word lachoso? From the previous pasuk, we would already know that it's also to be metame klal, because the Torah says that kol yimei zoro al nefesh meis lo yavo, period. There's no exceptions. There are no kulas over here. So let's just review this last point. It's a major fundamental point here in terms of the whole sugya of kavod abrios, whether it's dochi surim or not. The Gemara is now classifying Isurim under two different categories. There's one category called an Isur Shal Mamon, Isur Midini Mamonos, like for example, Lo Sucha L'Salmin Aveda. And there are Dini Isurim that have nothing to do with Mamon at all, like Kelayim. And the Torah's Mekil, as we saw, based on the Pasuk V'Salamta, Pabim Shatom V'Salim, in a case of an Isur Machmas Mamon, if the Issa is rooted in Mammon, then the Torah was makil and allowed for the sake of Kavod HaBrios to be docha that Issa. Masha'en Kein in Kalayim or any other Issa which is not rooted in Mammon, we're not going to derive from the Binyanah, we're not going to allow for a Binyanah from Visalamta that Kavod HaBrios could be docha any other Issurim. It's a special halacha in this exceptional category called an Issur Machmas Mammon. Tashma, we have another braisa with regard to a nazir. In Parshas Naso, the Torah says, "Kol yimei hizara l'Hashem al nefesh meis lo yavo." So a nazir is enjoined from being metami to mesim, and we say that that applies even to his close relatives, in contrast to the case of a kohen. And the Torah spells out lachoso. Ma Talmud Lomar, this braisa is perplexed about the addition of the word the emphasis here of the word lachoso from the previous pasuk. We've already derived that he's not allowed to be metami at all. So why did the Torah have to specify lachoso? Now the Gemara is darshaning the word lachoso because it's noged to our sugya. However, in truth, every single relative that's spelled out over here, enumerated by the Torah, is miutar, is extra superfluous in the pasuk, because the Torah says, "Kol yimei nizro al nefesh meis lo yavo." Period. An absolute rule. Now, the Sifri actually is going to darshan each one of these relatives that are spelled out here for a special drosh and a special yalfusa. La'ovid, for example, is dafka lekrovav eno nitma, but nitma ulemes mitzvah, and leimo, if he was a kohen in an ozir, even though he has two kedushos, nevertheless he could be mitami to a mes mitzvah. And leachiv is going to teach us that even if he was a kohen gadol and a nozir, which is the combination of what we call a kedusha chamura, nevertheless for the sake of a mes mitzvah, he'll be mitami. And Rashi goes through this, diva masalachoso. Now, we're not talking about a case here, as we'll soon see, of Hoya Holech Lishchot if he's a Kohen Gadol, or if he's a Nazir. We're talking about Yisrael, who's on his way to Shechta Karban Pesach. And the word Lachoso is going to teach us that if he's on the way to Shechta Karban Pesach, or to circumcise his son, nevertheless, if he encounters a mes mitzvah, he should be metami himself to mes mitzvah, even though that's going to undermine his possibility of bringing the Korban Pesach. And even though lachoso was said with regard in the pasuk in its context regard to nazir, nevertheless, since it doesn't add anything, it's superfluous in nazir, then we apply the principle, the rule of im eino inyan. We go beyond the Nazir to a Stam Ben Adam who's on his way to Shechta Pesach or to circumcise his son. But it's clear from this braisa that in a case he now finds out that one of his relatives passed away, and he's a regular person, which means that if he gets involved in burying the dead, he's going to undermine his possibility to bring the Korban Pesach. Is Yochel Yachzar, I might think that he should stop on the way. In other words, he should terminate his voyage on the way to be Mala's son. V'yitame, and he should be metame himself to his relatives, and then he won't be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Now, exactly where Mila fits in, Rashi has two interpretations here. According to one interpretation, that's Rashi's second interpretation, even Milas Beno is talking about Hakrovas HaPesach. In other words, we're talking about a case where he won't get a chance to circumcise his son before the Zman Krova, and if you're the father of an Ariel, then you're excluded from Korban Pesach. So now we want to know what happens here. We have a head-on collision between the obligation to be metame himself, to be involved in Kfuras HaMes, and that will undermine his possibility of bringing the Korban Pesach. Amrit, I would think that the din is not anything more than lo yitame, meaning that he should not be mitami to his krovim, because Korban Pesach is such a great mitzvah that it trumps the chiyuv of Kfuras HaMes. Because the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and likewise the mitzvah of Mila, these are the two mitzvahs I say in the Torah that generate kares if you don't fulfill them. Let's interpret the words Amrit lo yitame, which means that he will not be mitami for his karov, because he is already obligated in the mitzvah of Hakrovas Korban Pesach and Milas Beno, even before the obligation of Kfuras HaMes. And since these mitzvahs of Korban Pesach and Milah are such high-powered mitzvahs, they engender kares, therefore, lo yitame. He should not be mitame. Now again, it's a little bit difficult here, since he heard about the Misa, he now becomes an onen who's potter in a mitzvah, so why do we say he's chayiv in the mitzvah Korban Pesach or Mila? So the Marshal is famous for saying that we see from here that there are mitzvahs that even an onen is obligating, like Mila and Shechitas Pesach. But in any event, Amrit lo yitame. So the bottom line is, in this case, he was chayiv in the Korban Pesach. It's a chiyuv mitzvah sheish bo kares. He's obligated to continue on his way, and he will not stop for being mitame in the mess. Yochel, again, we still haven't justified why we need the extra rule of Achosa. Yochel, I might think, Hishem Shedem Mitami Lahem, that just like he's not Mitame to any of his Krovim, because he doesn't want to forfeit the Chiyuv Mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which is Yeshbo Kari, says, Eino Mitami Lames Mitzvah, let's go even a step further. Because again, all the other relatives that were singled out in this pasuk, each one is teaching me a new Chiddush in the power of Mes Mitzvah and its significance to override any other mitzvah. And here too, Lachoso is going to teach me that Mes Mitzvah overrides even the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And therefore, Lachoso, Tamalom Lachoso, Lachoso, who dienu mitame. He's not going to be mitame to his sister if he's on his way to Shech the Korban Pesach or to circumcise his son. And now we turn to Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Avo mitame hu lemes mitzvah. The Torah is saying that Lachoso is not mitame. Again, this is in the Parsha of Nozir, but as we said before, it's in the Meino Inyan. We take it out of the Parsha of Nozir, we apply it to any person, not a Nozir. So the Kavod HaMes, which is Kavod HaBrios, is Docheh a Dvar Torah in the case of Mes Mitzvah, and that we're going to derive from the Pasuk Lachoso. So now he's Chayiv, so to speak, he's Chayiv Karis. I mean, he's not going to be actually Chayiv Karis, because the Torah tells him that this is what he has to do. He has to be Mitami to a Mes Mitzvah. But Mes Mitzvah now trumps the Iser of non-fulfillment of Korban Pesach, which is a Karis Iser. Amai, why don't we apply the principle of Lema, Ein Chachma, V'ein Tfuna, V'ein Eitzel, Neged Hashem. Now this Kasha, this Havmin, is very difficult, because the Braisa derived this Halach of Mes Mitzvah and its significance from a special Pasuk Lachoso, which makes it into an exception to the rule rather than the rule. So Ein Afidabi, the rule is that for the sake of an Iser, we're going to shelve Kavod HaBrios. But here, Kavod HaBrios becomes prominent, and it trumps, and in Mes Mitzvah, it trumps even the Karban Pesach case, that that's because of the Poskel HaChotzer, not for HaChotzer, so we would know that. So this is a special din in Mes Mitzvah. It doesn't apply in general to Kavod HaBriyos. And in fact, this is more or less what the Gemara answers. Shani Yosem Duxiv HaChotzer. The HaChotzer is telling me something about the nature and the significance of Kavod HaMes in the case of a Mes Mitzvah. But that's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. But perhaps we could say that the Gemara wanted to know whether or not this pasuk could teach me a new rule, and that would override the rule of Ein Chacham Vein Tfun. And then you have to work out, well, when do you apply the Lachoso rule for the sake of Kavod, and when do you apply the rule of Ein Chacham Vein Tfun? And perhaps we can go out of the box of Mes Mitzvah and apply this to other cases of Kavod HaBriyos. So again, that's a little difficult because for the sake of burying his relatives, we're not going to allow him to override the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. And there is a great Kavod HaBriyos in the kvura of his relatives, unless we assume that someone else will get busy burying them and we don't have to worry. That's not a Mes Mitzvah. But the Gemara now asks, "V'ligmar mine from Lachoso, we should derive a klal, and that is that Kavod HaBriyos is doche on Isur Shebatorah. And if that klal is applied to the case of Kilayim, then if he finds in his beged Kilayim in the Shuk, he doesn't have to strip it because Kavod HaBriyos is doche Isur Torah, even in Isur Doraisa, like we found in the case of Kavod HaMes and Mes Mitzvah, that's doche the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, despite the severity and the heavyweight nature of Karban Pesach. Now, at this point, the Gemara could have said something about Mes Mitzvah, that Mes Mitzvah is in a category by itself as far as Kavod HaBriyos is concerned, but instead, the Gemara gives a different answer, Shevi Alta Ses Shaini. That if he's not being oker and violating an iser biyadayim by doing it actively, but rather he's sitting passively, and the Dvar Torah, meaning the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, is nekar mi'elav, that's different than the case of somebody who's being oker Dvar Torah biyadayim by wearing kalayim. And you might think, well, he didn't deliberately put on the kalayim. His maisa levisha was b'shogeg. Now you want to keep hold him responsible for maintaining the levisha of this shatnez, of this kalayim. Is maybe that's considered shevi altas? In other words, if you're telling me non-fulfillment of Karban Pesach is shevi altas, and therefore Kavod HaBriyos trumps Karban Pesach, then why not apply that same principle in shatnez? Because when he put on the shatnez, he didn't know it was shatnez. So he's always in a state of shevi altas. And the Shagasari and other achronim derive from this a conclusion that any avera that you're violating passively, but through the intermediary of a maisa, and as you started with a maisa and you're maintaining that maisa, so the matzav, the situation, is just an extension of the original maisa, that's considered kumvase when you keep it on. In fact, the Gemara is going to tell us in Masechta Makis that if a person, let's say a kohen, remains in the Beis HaKvaros, he'll get malchus for every single time he's warned, you better get the heck out of the Beis HaKvaros. And if he refuses to do so, he'll get malchus. Why? Because the original knisa, when he went into the cemetery, was b'kumvase. And here also in Levishas Kalayim, it's considered that he's oker dover biyodayim because his original levisha was a maisa biyodayim. And when he maintains that levisha, that's considered a maisa biyodayim. It doesn't come under Governor Kavod HaBriyos, shedocha losa seshem haTorah b'shevi altas. And this distinction between a pure passive state, like in the case of non-fulfillment of Karban Pesach, as opposed to a case where you maintain the original maisa, even though now you're doing it passively, is very relevant to Hilchas Brachos, believe it or not. Because the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Brachos has cases where he did not fulfill his brach on a mitzvah over Lasiyoson, but the Rambam says, Adayin HaMitzvah Kayemis, there are certain mitzvahs which they start with a maisa, but the matzav, the situation that results from the maisa, continues, and the kiyum mitzvah continues. And in those cases, he can make a bracha, even though it's after the asiyah, because the maintaining the original asiyah, like for example, wearing the tefillin for a longer time, that itself is considered a kumvase, it's a maisa mitzvah of sorts, and it could justify a bracha. So this is where we'll take a break. Let's not forget, as we end the Shia, to point out this is a gewaldige kasha l'chora on this whole sugya, because although in the case of Korban Pesach we're talking about a Shevi Altas situation where Kavod HaBrios is now overriding a violation of Shevi Altas, but what about the case of a Nazir or a Kohen Gadol who, if they encounter a Mes Mitzvah, they have to be metapel with the Mes Mitzvah because of the Kavod HaMes of a Mes Mitzvah, and there they're certainly doing it actively. In other words, they are violating their Kedushas, Nazir's Kedushas Kahuna, actively by being metami themselves. But the answer is that all the drushes of this pasuk that we've been studying for the whole last part of our shiur today, the pasuk of Li'aviv Limo Lachos etc. Lo Yitame, that pasuk teaches us that in certain situations the Torah never prohibited an isur, and that situation is called mes mitzvah. So in the case of a nazir and a kohen, when they are metame for the sake of a mes mitzvah, we're going to say that's not akiras haTorah b'kum v'aseh, but rather the Torah never prohibited within the context of tumas kohen gadol or tumas nazir in that isur. It never prohibited a case of being metame for a mes mitzvah, and that really touches on the famous universal question of hutra and dechuya. And basically, what we're saying here is that we have a hutra. Now it's interesting, back in the case of Medalgin Hayinu al Aronos, and we said that the reason why you were allowed to do that for Kabbalah Pnei HaMelech was because of the Tofeach Tefach, and it's only an Issur Tumah D'Rabbanan. So for Kavod Malachim, we're going to say that this D'Rabbanan of being Metameh to the oil that has a tofeach, that has a halal tefach. Well, what we're saying here in the Gemara's language, if you remember back on the top of this Amud, was mishum kavod abrios, kavod malachim, lo gazru b'rabbanon. So when Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok was medalik al gabi aronos, because tam aronos yesh mem halal tefach, he was not violating any sort of an isur because lo gazru b'rabbanon. And that means hutra, that was never included in the Isur at all. We're saying the same thing about the case of Mes Mitzvah with regard to Nazir V'Kohen. Now the Gemara has a discussion here about what we call Mesiras Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem, and the Gemara compares the original Doros way back when with our Doros. Our Doros meaning at the time of the Amoraim, Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, Maishna Rishonim Disrachish Lunisa, Maishna Anan Delo Misrachish Lunisa. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the course of nature with supernatural miracles, and he intervened with nature for the sake of the Doros HaRishonim? We don't find that in our Doros. That's what Rapop is asking Abaye. And Imishum Tnuye, is it because the original Doros were more scholarly than we are, and they were Gedolim Belimud? Is, I have a kash on that, because Bishnei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Kule Tanuye ben Ezekin Hava, Vanan Mitaninan Shisha Sidre. Way back at the original generation, the time of Rabbi Yehuda, all their Limud was focused on Seder Ezekin, the three Bavos. They didn't have Bekiyas in the rest of Shas, the other Arba's started. But we are greater than they are. We study all Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And furthermore, he says, V'chi Avi Mati Rabbi Yehuda Li Uktzin, where Rabbi Yehuda finally got around to learn the laws of Uktzin, and he got to learn the halacha of Ha'isha Shekoveshes Yerek B'kedera. He got to that particular Mishnah in Uktzin, or Amilei, there's another version, that he reached the Mishnah of Zesim Shekvasham Bitarfeyen Tahorim. Is Omar, he used to say that he didn't know exactly why, what was the reason why they were Tahorim, or Havoyos the Rav Ushmuel Kochazin and Hocha. Meaning, he declared, I see here sugyas, which are very difficult, like the sugyas that Rav and Shmuel study. It means that the Tama Mishnayis in certain cases is kashalai. It's difficult for me, like all the other Mishnayis, which Rav and Shmuel and my rabbis had trouble with in all the Gemara. So Rav Papa is wondering, and our generation, which is the, let's call it the Achronim, we know with Bekiyas all Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, which the Rishonim, let's say, for example, Rabbi Yehuda before us didn't know he was a Baki in Ezekiel. And furthermore, even when we get to Uktzin, which in Taros is a section that Rav and Shmuel had very difficult kashes, they found the sugyas very chamuros, and yet Anan, we the Achronim, who are much later than Rav and Shmuel, Kamasninin Beuksin Tlesar Mesifta. We reviewed our study of Mesefta Uksin 13 times, and we are certainly Bekiyim in that. So we see that we're Adif, from the perspective of Limud, we're greater than the earlier generations. Maybe because we stand on their shoulders. V'ilu Rav Yehuda ki avisholif chad misanei. When Rabbi Yehuda would take off one of his shoes because he was suffering from maybe the tightness of the shoe, Asi Mitra. Not only was he suffering from the tightness tightness of the shoe, but that this is a Gemara in Tainus that says that when they were suffering from a famine, then they would take off their shoes, and he didn't even get a chance to take off his two shoes. And Asi Mitra, and the miracle happened, and the rains came down in the famine. Vananka Matsarina Nafshin, we put ourselves into such frenzy and such anguish. Umitzvavka Tzavchina, we scream out in Tefillah, and we yell to Hashem, and yet, less Memgagish Ben, nobody pays attention to us. Our tefillahs are not accepted on high, and there are no miracles going on. And yet we supersede these earlier generations like Rabbi Yehuda, both in terms of our bekiyas and in terms of our knowledge of difficult sugyas. Omoleis, Abai responds to Rapopo, Kamoy avikom masri nafshayo kedushas Hashem. What made the earlier generations unique is that they were willing to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, Anan lo masrina nafshayin al Kiddush Hashem. We are not willing to go that far and sacrifice our lives for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. And therefore we're not Zocha that Hashem would do us Nisim like He did for the earlier generations. And now the Gemara embellishes this with a story to prove how the Rishonim was so great in terms of their Mesiris Nefesh and their willingness to sacrifice. Ki hadar of Adabar Ava Chazila he kusis. Now Rav Adabar Ava saw a woman who wasn't dressed properly. He had no idea that she was a kusis. He mistook her for a Yisraelis. Tavi Levisha Karbalta Beshuka. She was wearing a kind of beged that wasn't exactly tzanua. It was a very reddish beged. And it was a like they have today those hats, you know, that are very wide hats with all sorts of pom-poms on them. So he saw a kusis that was wearing this beged in the shuk, which would attract attention, and men would look at her, and that's not tznius. And ain't derech b'nos Yisrael is kasos b'beged adom. They don't wear these red garments, which is a kind of a pritzus that might bring to avera. So what did he do? He made a mistake. Sober the Bas Yisrael, he mistook her for a Jewish girl. V'kam kari mine, and he ripped off her beged. Igle milson. Then he finds out later the kusisi, and she wasn't even Jewish, and he was sued in a court of law for embarrassing her publicly. Shaimu, and they evaluated the amount of money that Boshes here would generate a chiyuv that he would have to pay. And again, we're talking about none other than Rav Adabar Ava, B'Arbameos Zuzi. They evaluated the boshes of the of the kusis at 100 zuzim. Amal Leser of Adav Arava said Mashmach. He asked the kusis what her name is. Amal Le, she said to him, Masun. Amal Leser of Adav Arava said Masun, Masun, Arba Mea Zuzi Shavye. You know, it's Masun, and another Masun is worth 400 zuzim. Now, that your name is what caused me to pay twice Masayim, which means Masun is Lasha Masayim. So if the word Masun means Masayim, Masun Masun means 400, and your name is Gorim. This is called Hashem Gorim. Okay, the next Gemara is again about the godless of the Doros HaRishonim. And that is Rav Gidl Avi Rogil Avi Ka'ozil V'Yosef Ashari the Tefila. Imagine, Rav Gidl would sit at the opening, at the gates of Shari Tefila. Tefila means mikvah. Amar Lahu Hachi Tefila V'Hachi Tefila. And he would show the women exactly where they should go to be tovel. Amilei Rabbanan, the Chachamim say, how can you do such a thing? Loka Mistafei Mar Mietzara. Aren't you afraid of the influence of the Yetzara? Amalahu Rav Gidl responded, Damyan Biapoi Ki Kake Ki Chivoi. In my eyes, they look like white geese. In other words, I don't even have a Hirur Avera. That's how great the Doros Rishonim are. And Rabbi Yochanan, we know this is a famous Gemara, Havi Rogel Havi Ka Ozil Yosef Ashari the Tvila. Would sit himself down at the entrance to the mikvah. And the reason he did is Omar, he said that Ki Solkan Benos Yisrael, when the daughters of Israel will come out of the mikvah, the Asion Mitvila, Mistaklin be, after that Tvila, they'll look at me. And apparently Rabbi Yochanan was a very charming looking guy. Maybe he was the, you know, he was the, he had the fastor of a Yosef. Vinehevi Luzara de Shapiri Kavasi, they'll have beautiful children like me. In other words, when a woman, before she has her relations with her husband, and she looks at something and it has an impact on her, it could actually have an impact on the fetus if she gets pregnant. Amri Le Rabbanan Loka Mistafi Mar Miena Bisha, aren't you afraid of an ayin hara? Now it's interesting that here they didn't ask him about Yetzara, instead they asked him about an ayin hara. And the answer is, because Rabbi Yochanan was not looking at the women, he was just sitting there passively and he closed his eyes. Or maybe his eyes were down at the karak, he was looking at the ground. Not like Rav Gidl, who was looking at them and speaking to them and telling them exactly where they should go to be tovel. But instead, the problem of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara raises, is ayin hara. And ayin hara means that if you present yourself as being exceptionally beautiful and people look at you, they may get jealous, they may give you a whammy. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Anan Mizara de Yosef Kasin. And how? Look how I was machavi to the Gemara, and I told you before that Rabbi Yochanan was as beautiful as Yosef, he was the descendant of Yosef. Now, it's interesting that when Rabbi Yochanan testifies himself that he's a descendant of Yosef, it's not clear how he knew he was a descendant of Yosef. It may be, as the Marsha would have it, that Kol Yisrael Nikra al Shem Yosef, because it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Nohei Kitzon Yosef, and that's a reference to a rank and file Jew. We all have a little bit of Yosef in us. And what's so powerful about Yosef, de lo sholta be'ena bisha, that an ayin hara would not have any impact on Yosef. The Chassid, how do we know this? Because with the blessing of Yaakov bestowed at the end of Sefer Bereishis to Yosef, it says, Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ale Oyev. Which means you're a son that has been endowed with a certain kind of a charm, a chen, what we call grace. And it's not to yala ayin, it's stretched out over the eye in such a way that a spectator will see it. So he becomes aware of your charm. In other words, it's misulakim in a ayin. Now, his people might look at him, and yet they don't see him. They look at him, but they don't see him with that evil eye. And Eina Ayin Sholetes Vehem. That's the bracha that Yaakov bestows upon Yosef. And Rabbi Yochanan benefits from that bracha, and therefore he doesn't have to worry about Ayin Hara. Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina Amar Mehocha, he says that we can learn that there's no Ayin Hara that controls or impacts on Bnei Yosef, the descendants of Yosef, from a different pasuk, a different source. Again, the bracha of Yaakov for the Bnei Yosef, and this is for Ephraim and Menashe. The Yidgu Larov Bekerva Arts. There's an emphasis here on Dogim. The Yidgu is Miloshin Dogim. You should be fruitful and multiply like the fish in the sea. Ma dogim shabiyab, just like the fish in the sea. Mayim mechasim aleim, they are covered all the time. Ein ayin hara sholetes b'hem. Av zara shel Yosef, ein ayin hara sholetes b'hem. So there's no ayin hara on fish because the fish are always covered. And even in the case of Yosef, who's covered, who's revealed, nevertheless, ayin hara doesn't have the power to be sholet because of yidgu l'rov bekerav haaretz. Inami, Iboy Seimi, the Gemara offers another explanation. Ayin shalorotza lozun, or lizon, mimasha einu shalo, ein ayin ara sholetes b'hem. Yosef didn't want to have any pleasure, any enjoyment, derive any pleasure from Eishes Potiphar, and therefore he's protected from the impact and the influence of an ayin hara. So Mirtz Hashem and tomorrow Shia will do the Mishnah at the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, the famous Mishnah of Noshim in Kriyat Shema.